Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
And it's time for another installment of It's My House. Today's podcast is titled Water Assets versus Water Shutoff. 619-768-2945 is the, let's say, listening number for tonight. And, of course, we're on Monday, actually 7 days a week, but Monday through Friday we're on 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's our regular day, weekday show, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m., and those shows might run 90 minutes to 2 hours. We're also, you can check us out, we do news briefs on our It's My House channel on YouTube, Instagram, and our Facebook page, which is It's My House News, and Periscope as well. Okay, now, today's title or subject is, I'm not going to hold you too long, water assets versus water shutoffs, and we have a special guest on this evening, Tisha Watkins. Good evening. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Tisha?
That's right.
Okay, thank you for coming on. Yeah, I read an article which mentioned you, 3 or 4 days ago?
Yeah.
I forgot what the paper was. That in USA Today? It was
Washington Post.
That's it, Washington Post. Could you share with us about the article and how did you end up in the article?
I know, it's crazy. Well, I had got my electric bill or whatever, and it had a disconnect notice, and whatever date it was like a Wednesday was the date that it was going to be disconnected. So I called to see if they could give me until that Friday to pay it, and they was like, no. And I was just like, okay. So I just hung up the phone. But then I'm scrolling on Facebook, and I see their Facebook page that says disconnects were stopped due to COVID. And I was like, I commented on it. I was like, no. I was like, I just got off the phone. Y'all said y'all was turning my stuff off Wednesday. And they wrote me back and said that they were sorry and they fixed it. And then there was a man that messaged me. I can't remember his name, but he messaged me from Facebook and said he was from the Washington Post and wanted to see if he could talk to me about what had happened. So I was like, sure, I don't care. And he talked to me for a few days and asked me if I had ever had my stuff turned off. And I was like, yeah, back in 2014. And I had told him that I had tried to get money from my church and whatnot, and they didn't help. And AEP wouldn't give me an extension, and they turned it off. Like, the man came there and turned it off. And I was just like, I had moved back from Christiansburg to Giles, and he was like, was that the only time I've ever been cut off? And I said, yes. But since COVID, after that, they started putting at the top of the bills that there would be no disconnects due to COVID. But I did notice on my last electric bill that it said that this service is about to come to an end. So I guess if people haven't been paying their bills, they're about to get a big one.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what state are you in?
Virginia.
Okay. Well, that's a big state. I'm originally from D.C., but what part of the state? You don't have to name the state, just southern, northwest.
I live
not
close
northwest,
to Virginia
southwest
Tech.
Or, oh, that's Blacksburg.
Yeah, I live like 20 minutes from Blacksburg. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Blacksburg. Yeah. I'm familiar with that neck of the woods. I mean, well, not familiar, but I know where it is because, like I said, I grew up in the D.C. area. I'm in Florida right now. But in any event, the water eventually got – were you in an apartment or in a house?
A townhouse.
All right, townhouse. And the water – how big did the bill get?
When they cut it off, it was
$900. Pretty penny. Okay. And how many months were you behind?
Like 3.
Okay, 3 months. Man, that's a high border. That's like $300 a month.
Yeah.
Now, you say you went, because I remember you mentioned that you went to your church. Now, what kind of ministries did your church have at the time?
It's a Baptist church, but I don't know.
I mean, did they have
anymore.
A ministry that was set up to specifically help people with their utilities or rent?
They do. They still do. But I think it's just they pick and choose. Dang, I haven't gone to that church all my life. Yeah, they just pick and choose. They say it's up to the board, but I don't know.
All right, so there's a bureaucracy with that. Because a lot of churches don't have programs, you know, to help people if they, you know, have problems with their housing. Some do, some don't. But yours happen to have that. All right, so you were not able to get help through them or not?
No, I was not.
Okay. All right, so what was your next move after it didn't work out with the church?
Well, I started writing letters to other churches myself, and I think somebody did send in $50 to them, but that was about it.
Yeah, that really doesn't help much, though. I mean, on a $900 bill.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, but $50 is better than nothing. So what was your next move after that?
I didn't have one. I was packing my stuff up to leave.
Okay. So you were able to move out before they got to you, before they actually shut it off?
Yeah, correct.
All right,
me and my kids just went to my mom and dad's house.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. All right. And like I say, you were in the townhouse.
Yeah.
So now the landlord charged you a monthly rent that did not include utilities.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So now in that neck of the woods where you were, does that $900 water bill, which is municipal water, did that follow you around, like if you moved into a new spot?
Yeah, so my stuff like that is not in my name at my new place. It's in my mom's name.
Okay.
And it's been in her name since 2014 when I left that place.
Right. Now, you say you wrote to some other churches. Now, did these other churches, including the original church that you were at, they had a helps ministry, but did any of them have a specific ministry dealing with water bills specifically or utility bills like electric, heating, water? Because up there, where you're talking about, gets cold too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or any kind of education program.
Not that I know of. I just went through the phone book and went down the list and wrote a few.
Okay. All right, I got to give you credit. You were swinging. you just didn't let things happen to you. Well, now you still at the parents' place or in your new place?
Oh, I've been in my new place since 2015. I was only there for. I left the place where we got shut off at August 2014, and I moved into the other place. This place, I think it was October 2014.
Okay. Are you familiar with the concept? Well, hold it. Now, you're in a new place, right? Apartment or
house? Another townhouse.
No, townhouse. Okay. So you got to deal with utilities again.
Correct.
Municipal water, which that's a monopoly. And then electric company, which is... How many is it? One utility electric company where you are, or more than one?
Yeah, we just got one AEP.
Okay, and then how do you heat? Electric or gas, natural gas or propane?
It's electric.
Okay. Well, you got an all electric house.
Yep.
Yeah, that can run up. Are the bills more manageable now? The utility bills more manageable now, or what?
Yes, because at that time I was getting divorced, so now I had went back to school, to nursing school, and now I have a better job, and I really don't have to worry about too much. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, back then it was rough.
Okay. Well, my mother was an RN when she was working. Are you familiar with the concept of off the grid?
No.
Okay. I'm going to play something for you in the audience, and people, Tisha, I got people that listen to this podcast around the globe. We've been doing this for 6 years. But with this COVID thing, like we got over 1,600 archive podcasts, just like we're doing now. This is the last one of the last streams. I'm going to play this. I'm going to play it. It's not long. And then I'm going to come back because the concept of off the grid goes along with what you're about to hear. And it gives some solutions to people that have high utility bills, particularly during this COVID or this pandemic thing.
Okay.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside, with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children, because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Now, today's podcast is titled Water Assets versus Water Shutoffs. And where I'm at in Florida, specifically, I don't have a water bill. And if you go to our Facebook, our Facebook page, which is, what do you call it? It's My House News. It's My House News on, that's our Facebook page. We did a video yesterday titled Water Bricks. And one of the assets that you can have, like I said, we've got a little water farm here. And you can store water. What I do is I store water in water bricks. So if you want to know what a water bricks looks like, just go to our Facebook page, It's My House News. And it's, I guess the last video I put up there yesterday, last night, you'll see a blue container I have, and that's what a water brick looks like. And I would call that a water asset. We also have a water farm. Well, that's what I call it. And that allows me to have as much water as I want where I don't have to go buy bottled water. And then we have a filtering system here at the house as well. So I bring that out because during this pandemic, I feel people need to become more what I would call water literate or utility bill literate, and that way they can dramatically reduce and or totally eliminate their utility bills, step by step. We're not talking about overnight, but step by step. Let's go back to our guest tonight, Tisha Watkins. Tisha, so what do you think about Lamar Alexander's, his little speech on what he did with, because he's off the grid. That's a description of off the grid.
Yeah, that was a little wild, but it seemed like it worked for him. Different.
Right, it works for a lot of
very
people.
Smart.
Right. And now most of the people that do that, they live in rural areas. If you live in a densely populated city, they have laws on the books that are basically going to prevent you from doing what he just broke down. But if you're in a rural area or a semi-rural area, you can do things that he's talking about, because essentially what you had owed on that water bill, well, you know, if you're prepared to live in a cabin, that's about 50% of your cost for the kind of setup that he talked about. Now, do you think, because one of the things that we would like to do on this end is set up an outreach specifically geared towards people, educating people, mind you, on how they can basically get off the grid when it comes to utilities. And now, let me break this down for people who are not familiar with the term off the grid. The grid is, at least the grid I'm talking about, the utility grid is, if you're receiving a utility bill from an electric company, gas, natural gas, or propane company to heat up your house, cook, bake cookies, what have you. And then, of course, in most places, they get their water from a municipality. Like, say, if you lived in Chicago, you turn on your tap water, that water's coming from the Chicago, whatever the municipality, or Cook County water municipality. And that's one of the ways that these municipalities or these cities earn income. All right, those are profit centers for them. Now, that's when it comes to the water. The electric company and the natural gas or the propane companies, those tend to be private companies. There are some exceptions, like where I'm at, Tickler City, they do have their own electric company. But people in my neck of the woods, some have solar electric systems. So they give, you know, you got a choice and whatnot. So, Tisha, because like I said, you called quite a few places looking for help, and I assume most of them didn't even have help, even in the form of an educational ministry on teaching you how to do
Correct.
These things, how to get off the grid. So any suggestions on if people wanted to come out there with an outreach, any suggestions on how to get an outreach out there? To reach people, now, like when you were in that position where you needed, when you were looking for help, any ideas on how outreach can place themselves in the position where
Facebook.
You could be aware of them and therefore give you the education you need to not have a $900 water bill?
Maybe through Facebook or mailing out flyers or dropping them off in certain neighborhoods.
Okay. Because you got people that in all kind of neighborhoods that got $900 water bills.
Daggone right.
You got high-end neighborhoods and you got low ones. So. But those are good ideas. Any other suggestions?
That's all I could think of, because out here, these different people, different churches and things, put notes on our doors for different stuff, but I think that would be really good.
Okay. But nobody's putting a note on your door about how to dramatically reduce or eliminate your utility bills?
No.
All right, well, you got me thinking in another direction. Now, do you live, you live 20 minutes away from Blacksburg.
Yeah.
That's a suburban setting or small town setting?
Yeah, it's small town.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, I'm in Florida right now. But I had to make it up through that neck of the woods one day. Well, any questions on your end?
No, sir.
All right, well, I really appreciate you coming on, because there's a lot of people. I know, like, where I'm at, they had a moratorium. The electric and water company here, I'm in Lakeland, Florida, which is in Central Florida, about 45 minutes away from Orlando, 30 minutes away from Tampa. So they had the electric company and water company, municipal water company, is owned by the city. However, you have the freedom here not to take power from them at all, or water. So like I said, I got a little water farm here where drinking water, cooking water, showers, washing the cars. It's. I got my own private system here with its own private, filters or filtration system. Because water from the city is expensive. And then they can cut it off. And then we're working on phasing out the electrical part. We got solar hot water and partial solar electric. But what we want to do is, like I say, set up an outreach where we can meet people. So I'm going to take some of the ideas that you just put out there. And get that going. But when I saw your story, I said, well, you've experienced it, so you did what a lot of people don't do. And then a lot of people do also, is you went searching, but for whatever reason, just a lot of faith-based organizations are not equipped to, because my whole thing is teach a man to fish or a person to fish. I mean, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach him how to fish, feed him for a lifetime. So we want
right.
to basically educate people on, all right, how to, what are water assets, what can you do if your water gets shut off where you can still operate? Because if you got a family, then, well, even if you don't have a family, water is basically very essential. So now, what does it look like in your neck of the woods as far as COVID? They're shutting off things again, or do you think they're going to come up with more legislation for another moratorium?
Well, I've heard that Radford is a hot spot now. I think they're on number 10, and we live like maybe 30 minutes from there. But out here where we are in Giles, I think it's maybe 44 cases. We don't have that many, but these places are making you wear masks when you come in, like at Walmart and Food Lion. But the restaurants are open.
What about utility shutoffs?
I haven't heard of any yet, but I know that our electric bill says that they was about to stop giving people, I guess, the grace period. And then our landlord here had put a note on the door, like, if people are still out of work due to COVID, then they would have to show proof when they were taken to court for an eviction. And then they would give them a little more time. So either way, they still taking them to court, I guess. But
They have shut a lot of courts down. But I guess some of them open back up.
They're still rolling out here.
See, that's the catch-22 of the situation. The government tells you one thing. I don't know how they're going to work that out. Well, in any event, all right. Well, thank you for the interview, and I'm going to act on some of those suggestions that you had for with marketing and block you in my phone. So if we get up in that neck of the woods, because like we want to do an outreach to educate people on what water assets are and what they can do to either dramatically phase out where they can be energy independent. Because $900 is a pretty steep. That's a lot of money. That's like over $3,000 a year if it kept on going that way. So, all right then. You have a pleasant evening and a great week. People will be
you
back
too.
Tomorrow
Thank
at 9:30 with It's My House, and then you can check out It's My House News on It's My House News on Facebook.